It's really dependence, isn't it? I'm thinking of Jacob. You know, I'll not let you go unless thou bless me. There was that firm attachment. There was that dependence. There was that trust. And it reminds me of the little verse of the poem that was found in JND's Bible after he was gone. Lo, at thy feet, Lord Jesus, this is the place for me. There I have learned deep lessons, truth that has set me free. And you know, brothers and sisters, we're not there often enough.
I was just thinking in terms of that also, there is one of the contemporary songs that says, if holding you is a weakness, then don't let me be so strong. The absolute dependence in my state of weakness shows that he is the source of power to lift me up.
And it's an indication too, is it not, that there was resource in the man of God and that there is resource in the Lord Jesus. And I was thinking of David after he'd sinned in numbering the people, and the prophet Gad came to him and offered him three choices of what might happen as a consequence. And David says, let us fall into the hands of the Lord, bringing the matter to the Lord.
And again, I think there is a life-changing experience in that woman. If she was great before this situation, I think she's greater now. When she came to that point where she have a real encounter with the man of God. Now, it is not let him come. So, you know, it's nice to have him. He's a holy man of God. Their relationship now is a totally different. She could come near him before. She could build him a chamber. He was there, but this, you, Tony, mentioned it, the intimate relationship in having a small chamber. It's even greater here. There is a progress in her Christian life now. She is really going to him. Draw me, and we would run after thee. It is no longer his things now, what he could do. It's him. As thy soul liveth, I would not leave you. As long as you are alive, I am not going to leave you. And he lives in the power of the endless life, in the very presence of God. It is our problem when we run out and we don't cling and hold on him and spend that time to get to know him. She knew that the answer is there. She was, I mean, what should I say? When he said, Gehazi, you take my staff. She didn't want his things. She wanted him. And how many times we want his things? We would be happier, right, if I got his staff. Listen, I don't know, if the Lord Jesus ever have a staff and I get a copy of it or I get a piece of it, I think I would be happy. But she wasn't happy with that. She wasn't happy with the staff of Gehazi. If I think Brother Bob, you mentioned it earlier, if we know Jesus, if we know Christ after the flesh, we no longer. He is risen, he isn't there. And you know what? It's not his things. The blessings are wonderful and he is the giver. But it's him that she clung to. And she said, as thy soul liveth, I would not leave thee.
It's amazing how similar, really, we're talking about the type. That even in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, when there were occasions for people to draw near to him, there were the disciples that will try to send them away. But the Lord, with his heart of love, seen here in Elisha, he would refuse, leave her be. You know what? She is troubled. But what I want to suggest is, why would Elisha, really in a way, send his servant? I mean, he knew that she wanted the prophet. She didn't want the servant. But let's bring it by way of a type. I think it was a further step that he has taken, so that when the time comes, he can show more of his own glory. And this is why I would suggest to you that by way of type, if we are talking of the Lord Jesus, that Gehazi might be now a second picture. And that second picture is the law that have been ushered into men. And the only thing that the law could do, he can go to the circumstance and the child. And the only thing that the law could do is bring a report back that the child is dead. And for people that put their trust in the law, the only thing that the law, although it is perfect, It is given by God, but it is just to demonstrate that man is dead because no one could keep the law. So by that, it is time now, not anymore for a servant, not anymore for his staff. Now the time comes, in the fullness of time, it is time for the real Blessed One to come into the circumstance of the child.
But I think it's important to make those contrasts because, you know, we've brought out how Gehazi is a type of the Spirit of God. Yes. And yet we're seeing him here now thrusting her away. So I'm sure in the minds of some would be, well, how do you continue the type? Well, one of the things we always have to bear in mind is that types fail. We only have the antitype, which is perfectly set out in Christ. So as you bring out in terms of Gehazi as representing someone of the law can only bring us to a place of condemnation, but does not offer any kind of solution to the matter. The law says sin is sinful and it's exceedingly sinful, but it is grace that opens up the door for us.
It cannot give life.
Cannot give life.
Amen. So it required Elisha. Mm-hmm. And that's where the time comes where we spoke earlier about the glory of the Creator. And the glory of the Creator was no movement from Elisha. It was a word that was said. But when it was the question now of giving life, when it was a question of coming to the circumstance of the child, Elisha was not on the Mount Carmel saying, "Let this child be raised." It was never so, dear brethren. The glory of the redemption of the Lord Jesus required him to come down to our circumstances. How could this happen? Again, maybe we can rehearse the verse again. "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus." How do we know it? "Though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor." When it came to redemption, dear brethren, and if we can take hold of that truth as saints, that for Christ to redeem me, he had to come down. He had to take the body that was prepared for him. He had to come into my own circumstance, and he had to stand in my place to be judged so that he will redeem my soul. And that's what happened with Elisha. He had to come down. And how wonderful is Christ Jesus himself. The blessed God, the Creator, came down to redeem us.
It's amazing how mentioned that Gehazi now in verse 25 here become type of the law. Because what I think when you observe is that here is the man of God, he's coming in. And here the Lord Jesus comes in and he died for us. He comes in and he said, "Leave her alone because she's been."
I was thinking also of the statement in verse 30. It says, "The mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And we had made mention earlier of the two on the road to Emmaus in Luke 24 as to how the heart, how the Lord was seeking to draw their hearts after him. And if you just turn back to chapter 2, because we see the same language in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 6. And this is the encounter with Elijah and Elisha. It says, "Elijah said to him, Tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to the Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And the two went on." And so it must have really struck a chord in the heart of Elisha that he had a desire like this. It was someone who, Elijah said, "Listen, you just remain here. God has told me to go back to, through these different stations that I had visited before." And some would say, "Okay, you know, I want to give you some private time." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they went on together. And so now here's this mother. It could have simply said this woman, but it's the mother of the child. Very tender-hearted mother who had deep pangs for this child that had been given to her in a very miraculous way. And she says to the holy man of God, I'm not leaving you. You might have sent your servant, it might be the staff, but the power, the faith, the belief that I have that you are going to raise my son is going to tie me to you. You are going to have to come with me. And it's interesting that it says also at the end of that verse, not that Elisha led her, but it says, and he arose and followed her. So it's very interesting that when the Spirit of God draws our hearts out to see what is really in us, I think you might have the same thing with Ruth and her daughter-in-law. He sees the real desire that we have for him. Then he's willing to follow us, and he's willing to do the desires of our hearts because he's come first.